Hi, y'all. Katie Parker, alcoholic. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited to be here. You know, I feel like we get the privilege of doing this a lot, too, Charlie and I. And I have decided that what it feels like for me is, you know, when horses line up and are getting ready to do a race, and there's always one horse in there that's just, you know, that is me. I'm like every speaker. I'm going, oh, that's great. When's my turn? Come on. I just love it. This is home to me. I love being behind a microphone. I love sharing the story of Alcoholics Anonymous. I love talking about the book. I love everything about it. Some people in AA still bug me, okay, so just FYI, but I typically love everything about Alcoholics Anonymous. And I gotta tell you, Tony, what a great job you guys have done. You can't hear that enough for the committee. I mean, these people, they take a full year to prepare for these things. You know, we get the glory of flying in, being treated nicely. Woody picked us up at the airport, you know, and I love it. Woody's like, I'm 6'2", bald-headed with a Captain America t-shirt on. And I texted him back and went, well, you're blending. Okay. Should be able to see that with this crowd here in Hilton Head. And he's been great, but I mean, we get the best of the best when you're the speaker, but we know the hard work that's gone into this. So I thank the committee deeply. I love Lee. Lee's tapes, huge. We'd be lost without the tapers. Please, please, please support the tapers. They are our archivists. They're very important. And then Teresa and Tammy Teresa, what are you doing in the corner, girl? We got 100 seats up here. Did a fabulous job. Tammy, I've heard so much about you. I've never had an opportunity to hear your story. And wow, wow, both you and your husband, that's remarkable. I've often been afraid that Charlie's 95-year-old mother was going to come live with us. I swear, when you said that, I thought, no, I'm really not like her husband. I'm just saying, okay? I do believe, though, between Tammy and Teresa and me, we could do a little Thelma and Louise, don't you think? I mean, we are, that's the beauty of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's the beauty of women in Alcoholics Anonymous. You don't think we can take care of ourselves? Back it up. We can, okay? Whatever this whole nonsense is that we can't, whatever. Do another pamphlet, for gosh sakes. I'm not saying there's not some, you know, bad stuff that can happen, but it's, we women know what we're doing. And I just love that. I love both y'all's stories. We women support each other. We can handle ourselves. Anybody giving you a hard time, just ask one of the three of us. We'll go take him out. Yeah. And then, of course, my husband, Charlie. He's going to be speaking tonight. My love of my life. Yes. And then Mike, unfortunately, we're missing Mike. We had to leave Sunday, too. This is a tough place to fly to. I mean, it was either fly out at like 8 o'clock tomorrow night and get home at 2 in the morning so we could hear Mike. And it's like, Mike, I love you, but sorry. You know, I got to tell you guys, these hotels, that's like a football field and a half away from your room, right? And I mean, I got heels on. I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to go back to the room. I'm going to just get myself centered for this, you know, a workshop. And I get all the way to the room. And keep in mind, I wear heels. I wear heels when I go to fix, you know, go get breakfast in the morning. I love heels. So I'm wearing my heels. I get all the way to my room and my key doesn't work. Let me add a little bit to that. I have to go big time to the bathroom. You with me on that? I'm like, oh, my God, this is terrible. I call down to the front desk, you know, I got the emergency phone, you know, and I tell the guy, I go, listen, man. And he goes, we'll send security. I go, no, you need to send security now, like right now. This is, and I wait and I think, oh, I can't do this. I go all the way to the spa and they're loving on me in the spa. I'm like, just let me use the bathroom, you know, then they get our door, something about the battery wasn't working. I'm like, oh, but I swear, have you ever gotten to that place to where you're getting ready to talk about spirituality? And your key doesn't work. Well, could have been really ugly. I will tell you, you know, we spoke in Chicago a couple of weeks ago, and I hadn't spoke. I too had a health issue. I had something weird. I'm not going to get into it with you. It was called transient global amnesia. Yeah. November 6th, and my brain got a little erased, and I did a talk in Chicago, and I was the Saturday night speaker. It's when, you know, when you said everybody, you know, comes on Saturday, that pisses me off, but I'll leave it at that. You know, so I got a real issue. Then they all came on Saturday night, you know, 1,000 people, and I just wasn't on the mark for me. And I told, I mean, I had 8 days, and God and I really took this deep. I took it very, very personal. It's like, God, you have always allowed me to have a blast behind this podium. I love sharing the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm not willing to go through that again. I know I had a little setback. I know I had a little erasing of my brain, but I'm not doing that. I'm going to have fun here. So I share a message out of the book that's a lot coming at you. My husband will tell you I'm a little bit like taking a drink out of a fire hose. You've been warned, okay? So when I start getting going, man, I go at it. And I bring a lot of information. I always recommend getting a CD. If you're interested in the message I carry, get the CD. But we're going to have fun. You ready? Come on! God, all right, you are drunks, aren't you? Come on! It's a party, man. Life is a party. I hope your life is like a parade. I hope you look people in the eye. I hope you say hi to everybody you pass. That's what God wants us to do. This whole thing is about every moment of your life. The undeniable hand of God is in every moment of your life. Don't miss it by looking at your feet. Don't miss it by ghosting people. Stop. Just smile. Life is really wonderful. And we're going to get into this half measures. When Tony told me what the topic was, I was like, sweet. I can't wait to talk about half measures. Because over 80% of Alcoholics Anonymous is definitely working a half measures program. You know how I know that? Because I was. I get it. And let me tell you, you're in danger, danger, danger. Remember Will Robbins? Danger, danger. Is because we think, we forget that alcoholism is fatal. We really do. Watch me. Oh, I'll do a lot of service, I'll do a lot of meetings, but I won't get into the meat of the steps because I don't really need it. I mean, it might be fatal for Charlie. So just watch me. And based on my life and my story, I lost my husband. We were married for 20 years, and at 23 years, he ended up going back out, and he died of a heroin overdose. Yeah, mm-hmm. For if an alcoholic fails to enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he cannot handle certain trials and low spots. Didn't know that was in the book. Stepped away from the book at about 3 years. Didn't pay attention to it from that point on. And what that's talking about, guys, is see, I don't know what certain trials and low spots are for you. It could be as bad as your car doesn't start. You know, it doesn't have to be catastrophic. But we had not done that. We were living in what I call meeting-based sobriety. I didn't know it. Mark used to say, how do you know what you don't know? I didn't realize that. Didn't realize I'd hitched my wagon to middle of the road. Didn't realize that. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I love the fellowship. I think if you want to go to a meeting a day, great. But if you're not working the steps, you're not treating your alcoholism. Meetings don't treat alcoholism. Service doesn't treat alcoholism. They are a huge part of our triangle. Don't get me wrong. They are necessity in there. But they don't treat the illness we suffer from. Only the steps treat that. So my home group is a big book study. It's called the Primary Purpose Group. We meet in Austin, Texas on Tuesday night at 7:30. It used to be called Faith United Methodist Church. It's changed, but I'm still calling it that. And just got taken over the church. And so if you're ever in Austin, we'd love to have you there. We have over 250 people studying the big book. Come on, 250 people studying the big book. Jeez Louise. We are on the firing line, bringing it in, baby, bringing it in. And we study the book line by line, and we're not really studying it for your experience with it. Now, don't get me wrong. That's a wonderful thing. Your experience with the book is great, but not at this meeting. This meeting is about what the founders found necessary to put in the doctor's opinion in the first 164 pages. We're about connecting the dots. Okay, it's kind of an interesting perspective. We're not against about you sharing your experience, but that's just not what we do in this meeting. See, this is what I like to tell people. If you're all about the big book, great. If you're not about the big book, great. There's no fighting in the lifeboat, man. We start fighting each other on topics that we don't need to be fighting. This is fatal. We need to all be each other. So if I want to talk about the book, rock on. If somebody doesn't want to talk about the book, rock on. But let's not talk about each other. You with me on that? Oh, yeah. You know, I swear, sometimes you go, oh, so you're a big book person. I go, well, so you're a middle of the roader. Where are we going to start here? Yeah, really? Is this what we want to do? This is a very small lifeboat, man. Don't step on my oxygen. I won't step on yours. And so, now, my sobriety date's October 28th of 1984. I'm very, very excited to be sober 33 years. I will tell you, my husband has got 5.5 months less than I do. Oh, that's important. You know, it's funny, in our house, he starts to struggle a little, and I say, honey, you know, it'll make a little more sense in about 5.5 months. Just hang on. I got sober when I was 26 years old. I had a 5-year-old daughter. I know pitiful, incomprehensible demoralization. I know what it's like to drag a baby through drinking. It's heartbreaking. I think for half you men, if we hitched about 3 kids to you, I'd like to see your life go down the toilet faster. You know, I'm not saying you didn't have that, but I'm just saying you didn't have that. The majority. You know, I know I sound like I got a lot of absolutes. Sometimes I do. Every once in a while, when a man raises a child, everybody goes, whoa, wow, proud of you. Woman does, you know, hell yeah, good for you. You know, just a lot of old ideas, man. Lots of old ideas in this world. I like to also remind you that I am the vessel. I am the vessel to help you get connected to the power. I am not the power. I don't know what boy you should date. I don't know what car you should buy. I don't know what job you should have. But I can promise you, I can tell you how to get in touch with the still, quiet voice that will tell you. When we face indecision during our prayer and meditation, we ask for the right thought or decision. Then we relax and take it easy. Then throughout the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful. I'm way more doubtful today than I am agitated. What should I do? Pause, ask, remind, and say. It's all through the book. Sure, I can call my sponsor and she can give me some pros and cons. I need that. And then I take that into my prayer and meditation. Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous was named by the Library of Congress as one of the 88 books that shaped America. God, does that give you, if that didn't give you goosebumps, I mean, I'm telling you guys, it's big stuff. Big stuff. Now, here I go. You ready? All that's out of the way. Half measures availed us nothing. And yet we do half measures. These are questions. I want you to turn statements into questions. Ask yourself these questions. Are you doing what I'm getting ready to lay out? Because I didn't do it for many, many years. First 3 years, I did a ton. And then from that point on, I just coasted. I think you have, you know, people say that when the person has a year sober, their odds of staying sober are better. I disagree with that. I believe between 18 months and 3 years is some of your hardest sobriety you'll ever face. Because what you've done is you've done sobriety based on the abstinence of alcohol. Okay? Everything's new. Everything's exciting. And by 18 months to 3 years, your ego rebuilds. Start not liking your home group. Right? There goes Big Head Doug getting ready to share again. Bandana Brian always waits till 10 minutes before the end of the meeting and shares for an extra 5. It's killing me. And before you know it, at 3 years, you got to go. You just got to go. And then you hit another wall, usually between 3 and 5, 5 and 7, 7 and 12, 12 and 18. You can't miss them, guys. It's a part of growing sober. It's growing up spiritually. See, for some reason, we think that there is a coast. There's not. Either you're moving forward or you're moving back. Doing nothing is not staying still. We suffer from a progressive illness that is constantly trying to kill me. The problem of the alcoholic centers in my mind. We are an outright mental defect, full flight from reality, and cannot differentiate the truth from the false, drunk or sober. Oh, don't be fooled that just because you're not drinking, your children aren't seeing a crazy person. Oh, yeah. Any of you guys ever lost it in the store with your children there? Yeah, I swear my son, if I go, hey, Sam, he's like, oh, mom. So it says on page 59, it says, half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Now, this is read in How It Works. Charlie and I like to refer to that as the most read, least listened to piece of literature in Alcoholics Anonymous. Just think about that. I swear, the minute somebody starts reading How It Works, you're like, whew, I got to go get something to eat. I got to get, oh, there's Mary. Hey, looking around the room. And then at the very end, we chant a little, which is your little awakening. Oh, we're back. Okay. And then I always love the guy that sits there like this. You're like, oh, stop it. Like you're absorbing every word of this that's being said for the 800th time. Anytime we redundantly read anything, I'm not against reading How It Works. I'm just saying when we redundantly read anything, read it over and over and over, we lose it. That's just nature. I mean, that's spiritual nature. So it says on page 59 in How It Works, if half measures availed us nothing, they're not mincing any words there, guys. It avails you nothing. Period. Not a little bit, not still moving forward. It says we stand at that turning point. What is the turning point mean? There's three places in the book that talk about the turning point. It's on page 25. Blot out the intolerable situation as best we can. We all know what that feels like. Or accept spiritual help. It's a dilemma. They both suck. Okay, you with me on that? I'd rather blot out my intolerable situation. I got way more experience in that than spiritual help. A self-imposed crisis we could not postpone or evade. Either God's everything or nothing. A self-imposed crisis. I've done it again. Right? Page 53 and then page 133. The deliberate manufacture of misery. It says avoid then. The deliberate manufacture of misery. God didn't do it. But when trouble comes, we cheerfully capitalize on it. So he can show his omnipotence. Let me ask you this. Next time you're running a little late for work and you go out to your car and it doesn't start, cheerfully capitalize on that moment. It's just not of our nature. Just not of our nature. And I love where it says, we ask his protection and care with complete abandon. Now, we use the 1935 dictionary at our meeting because words back in 1935 are different than they are today. And I love abandon means to surrender oneself to a feeling. Feelings are not facts, guys. I'm telling you, I always caution people when they start sharing too much about their feelings. I'm not telling you you don't get to have feelings. See, that's what people hear. I'm telling you that you're talking about a delusion that hadn't even happened. Especially if you talk to women, they go, well, you know what? He got mad at me last night, and then I just know he's going to leave, and then if he leaves, and I don't have anywhere to live, and then whoa! Back it down. Is he still in the house? Yeah, okay. Let's stop right there. See, you go all the way down that. Fear always spirals down. It's a rabbit hole. It'll take you to the worst. And that's just what we want to... We go, whoa, Wally, back it up. Back it up, right? And then it says to give up to a natural impulse. We are impulsive people. I love in the 10th step where it talks about my thought life, right? I never even put those words together. I thought, react. That's the world we live in. 10 and 11 are the most underutilized steps in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. A lot of people go to the 12 and 12, and sure, it talks about the many different inventories in the 10th step, but a 10th step is a spot check inventory. It is not an evening review. The 11th step is the evening review. I swear, if we're not careful in AA, we're going to screw this deal up. I mean, did you guys ever hear that you worked your first step getting here? You worked your first three steps getting here. That wasn't Bill's experience. That wasn't Bob's experience. So we've already dismissed those three steps. Then we're saying the 10th step is the evening review. So in a short 80 years, 80 plus years, we're saying different things than what the book says. And if this illness is in my DNA, if it is hereditary, I don't want to screw this deal up in case my grandchildren need it. I mean, yeah, man, let's have it. Because I am about standing here, and I love what Tammy said, because I love the way Clancy just makes people's butt pucker. It's like, good! Bob Bazans does it too. Boy, he did a talk in New Zealand that just would, you young people would probably just have real issue with. I was like, yes, yes. You know, because we have got to teach these young guys what this is about. This is not about politically correct. All we have is identification and power. You got a problem with that? Bye-bye. Right? We're not going to conform. This is not what Bill and Bob wanted us to do. It'd be like me going to Jiffy Lube asking them to clean my teeth. Right? But in here whatever. No. We're leaving God all up in this business. That's all we got, man. Those are the only two things we have. If you don't like it, oh, please feel free to go. Go start your own little world. Oh, that'll get you going, won't it? Just saying. I love where it says, using a part of a prescription produces inadequate results. If we only pick and choose, we miss the whole purpose of what this is about. We've just dumbed down spirituality in 12 steps. We really have. In 164 pages, we've given amazing direction. We didn't make it up. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We just numbered it. 1, 2. And it says, and then the other part is where we get mixed up behind all this. Then we go out, we hurl ourselves out into life, you know, we carry resentment, fear, self-pity, and we wonder why life is so hard. I mean, sometimes I tell you, I was a huge member of the movement of going into a meeting and somebody saying, does anybody have a topic? It's a dangerous place. I really wish you weren't sharing as the chairperson. You should be having a topic. You should be dressed for success at that moment. Your position is to keep that meeting going in the right direction. It's my primary purpose. And I'd raise my hand when my kids were teenagers and I go, let's talk about teenagers. I mean, I was huge in the movement of just let me go into a meeting and if I get enough people to share with me that their struggles are the same as mine, the struggle is real, it comforts me. And what I didn't understand is I was getting relief, but I wasn't getting freedom. See, that's what ends up happening is you go to a meeting where it's all about fear. And if everybody talks about their fear, I'm not alone. But that's not what it's about. It's about the solution. Are you writing a fear inventory? Are you getting down to these old ideas? These half measures are everywhere. And if we're not careful, we get comfortable with that. See, my outward demonstration in life is always an expression of my inward condition. If I'm walking around life scared to death, I'm out here just making a mess. Because I'm constantly trying to make self-reliance work for me. I love Tammy's life. Self-reliance worked great for you. I mean, she ended up, now granted, in the outside world, the doctor, the rich house, big house, 2 kids. See, self-reliance worked for me too. I left home at 15 also. Man, I was all about proving to you I can do this. So you, when I come into AA, you want me to set down the only tool I got? Whatever. See, I'll use it whenever I need it, and then I'll bring God in when I got a real problem. Now, I didn't find many real problems. Self-reliance worked really well for me. So those are the kind of things that we're talking about. And then on page 58, it says that some of these we balked. The word balk means to stop suddenly, refuse to go on. At some of these we balked. Ask yourself, have you balked? When was the last time you wrote inventory? If it's been more than 2 months, 3 months, it's too long. Tenth step says we take personally, you know, continue to take personal inventory. Continue. All the directions are in 4 through 9. Deep directions. But the tenth step, you got to know the difference between calling your sponsor with a tenth step and getting relief and getting freedom. And the only way you know that is by doing it several times. You'll figure out your barometer. If Marty and I do a tenth step and all of a sudden I'm free from it and I get that, then it's all good. But if I get off the phone and in about an hour it's back rattling around in my head, man, I got to scribble out inventory. And guys, writing inventory, when you get really good at it, takes 6 minutes. That's it. Boom, boom, call her. I don't have to meet her knee to knee at Starbucks. I just call her. You know, Marty, you got some time? Yeah, I got some time. 30 minutes, good. Boom, 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 boom. She's going to pull out all my old ideas. Look at this. This is the other part. It says we go, we thought we could find an easier, softer way. Easier in the book is really only when we're going to have trouble. Between 60 and 88, right? This is the action part of our program. It's like 24 pages. We will run from it. We will hide. We'll hide out in meetings. We'll do more service. We'll work harder. We'll go to the gym. We'll spend money. We'll do anything to avoid doing that work. And don't get me wrong. A lot of those things are nice to have. They make me feel good. Once again, we're always going at those feelings. And then it says, but we could not, with all the earnestness at our command. Earnestness means sincerity. I mean, think about when Bill and Bob and these people were writing the big book. They use these words. They got everything in 164 pages. Charlie and I have often said if we had to do the writing of the big book, it'd be about 800 pages. You know, I mean, they really condensed this thing down because they know drunks. They, you know, how many of you guys didn't even start on page one? I mean, I didn't. I just went right to how it works. Tell me how it works, you know? And then I kind of, I did a little bit of my amends because I was amazed before I was halfway through. I thought, you know, I'm happy right here, right now. This is cozy. And then it says, now, and this is what I love. Tammy said it this morning. We beg of you. Beg. We're not asking. We're begging. We beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Wow. From the very start. Well, what does that mean? Think about this. On page 75, it says, is our work solid so far? This is in the fifth step. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement putting into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar out of sand? Why is that? Because buckle your seatbelt, baby. A storm is coming your way. Do not be fooled by that. See, the world and its people really dominate us. Does that make your butt pucker? Come on. The world and its people really dominate us. In that state, the wrongdoings of others, fancied or real, have the power to kill. See, I'm not about making you feel bad. I'm about waking you up. See, the spirit needs a real jolt. So understand what this is. This is the world, right? Oh, and the people other than that, go have a good day. Come on. So I'm talking the weather bothers me. Traffic bothers me. Just think about it. Have you ever had the sun shining right in your eyes and that just pisses you off? See, we are the glass half empty people. That's just what we are. We rarely see the glass half full. We have to work hard at it to see the glass half full. And when it's talking about this beginning, right? For if an alcoholic failed to enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice, he couldn't handle certain trials and low spots ahead. I don't know what your certain trials and low spots ahead, but I can promise you, you know people in AA that have had several, multiple years and gone back out. Absolutely. Raise your hand if you know people. Oh, yeah. This is, you know, and then we act like it won't happen to me. And then, or how about somebody who's taken their life in sobriety? Same thing. See, when it's talking about this, I've got three people in my life, because I've already been down that road. At 17 years, I had my most significant spiritual awakening. I know the bedevilments on page 52. I was laying in bed sweating every night for 18 months, the darkest days of my life. I get it. Destroying my children's life sober. I get it. I know what it looks like. You take a girl like me and leave me unleashed, and don't think you're different than me. I know people always like to go, well, she is a lot coming at you. So are you. I love it. You know, people go, well, she is clearly an extreme example of self-will run riot. You know what I mean? But here's the deal. If your alcoholism shows up as that you're stealth, you're the silent person. You wouldn't say peep if you had a mouthful. You fly in like a drone. Right? Out? Doesn't make you any less alcoholic than me. You just show up different than I do. All yours is up here. You're keeping every one of those things in your head. And I really think you end up having some physical illness, you know, later in life, if it's not a heart attack, high blood pressure, whatever you want to call it. I work with half the country. I know. I could write a book on this stuff. I'm telling you, this is how you're going to behave with 3 years. You can talk to me for 10 minutes and I can almost tell you how long you've been sober. You work with enough people and you can understand the way alcoholism works. I don't always have the answers for you, but I can give you some directions if you'll take the action. Remember, this is a beginning to the end. This is a beginning, not an end. Sometimes we act like that, you know, people say, well, I've worked the steps. Is there an end? Wow, I've done that same program. This is a circular, right? The steps are always a circular program. And it says, some of us tried to hold on to our old ideas and the result was nil. That means nothing until we let go absolutely. What are they talking about? Most people don't even know what an old idea is. I know I didn't. All of this is from my own experience. This is never me doing this to you. This is all from my own experience. And I didn't know what old ideas were. Well, that's the term they used back in the 30s. It's a belief system, what you were raised on. And I loved it. You know, both Teresa and Tammy used a lot of them. They talked about, you know, that I'm this and I'm not this. And if I'm this, then I must be that. These old ideas are always ever changing. Don't think they're just our old childhood issues. Yeah, there's some deep-seated ones there, right? That corroding thread. But what I'm talking about is mine are ever changing. See, we come into AA and we're taught integrity and dignity and respect, hopefully, correct? Show up to a meeting early, don't get up during the speaker, thank the speaker. You don't have to do that for me, but I'd appreciate it. But you know what I'm saying. So these are the kind of things you have to do. I don't care if you don't like lines. Nobody in that line likes lines, okay? So here's the deal. When we're talking about these old ideas, where do they show up? They show up in the third column of a four-column inventory. My self-esteem, my pride, my ambition, my security, my personal relationships, sex, money. And one of the things about that is most people will just use checklists. I'm not a fan of that, never have been. I just ask you the question, how? How does that affect your self-esteem? How does that affect your pride? I want the answer to, how do you show up? I'll get into a little bit more of that, but first I want to talk about some old ideas. Here's one that's really a doozy. Time flies by. Seems kind of simple, doesn't it? Well, let me ask you. If you asked an 8-year-old, does time fly for you? You're like, man, no. I've been waiting for Christmas since it was just over. It's going to take forever. Remember how long it took for summer to come? To be out of school? And then something happens around your 40s. And between 40 and 60, it's like, gone. You're like, I don't even remember what happened in the 90s. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm getting ready to be 60 in a couple of weeks. I don't remember the 90s. And here's what's interesting about that. If time flies and I'm going to take this old idea to God, what am I going to do with that? God's trying to tell me, Katie, don't look at it as time flies. Don't miss a minute. Don't miss a minute. I don't care if you're in a hurry to get out of the house. Stop. Take 3 breaths. Get back in the present moment. See, all the reason we're not sober for 24 hours, I don't believe that was whatever the book tried to do. And I know we say that a lot. I believe we're trying to live to the fullest in our 24 hours. The spirit must be awakened to the 24 hours we have. The journey is now. See, if you traveled to get here, the beginning of the morning of the trip was the journey. That is your day. Did you say hi to the person when you were pumping gas? Or were you just hurrying up to get here? See, we don't stop and do that because we just don't even think to do it. You know why? Because we're asleep. And we miss it. We miss it. If you haven't made the amends to your family and you still got beef with your family, talk to your sponsor, get the clear idea of that amends, and go do it. I don't care how scared you are. Oh, yeah, yeah. Like you think you're not going to be scared. You're going to be scared writing it. You're going to be scared talking to your sponsor. You're going to be scared driving over there, and you're going to be scared while you're doing it. Okay, get over it. All right? So you're not going to get rid of that. This is what it's all about. It's all about family, guys. Don't miss it. I did. My dad died before I got my head out of my butt at about 14 years sober. I didn't have it out yet. And my dad and I fought like just terrible. We were exactly alike. You typically fight with the person in your life you're most like. That sound right? Absolutely. Your mother and you are exactly alike. You can't stand each other. Okay? There. And so you fight with that person and you miss what God's trying to tell you here. Is this love and compassion, but you have to do the work. So you don't get just habit. It doesn't work that way. And unfortunately, my dad didn't make it through a surgery. And when I finally came out of what I call untreated alcoholism, it was devastating. I missed an opportunity. See, when you're on your deathbed, you're going to want your family there. Period. You're not going to want to. Yeah, your AA family's one thing, but let me tell you, your blood family, God can make it amazing for you. Don't miss it. When I was young, all my old ideas were my mom died unexpectedly when I was 8. My dad remarried 3 times in 18 months. It was the 60s, you know. Charlie likes to say he didn't have a problem closing a deal. But we had 4 live-in housekeepers, so in an 18-month period, I thought the same thing. I had everybody tell me, you would have drank too. You would have drank too. They always got to say why you're alcoholic. I'm alcoholic because I have an abnormal physical reaction to alcohol. Period. Page 44 sums it up, baby. It answers all your questions. If you don't want to read the book, read the first 2 paragraphs on page 44. It tells you, if those are your 2 problems, you're probably alcoholic. See, it's really not that difficult. And hard drinkers look like us, but they don't have the allergy. Given sufficient reason, they can stop or moderate. And they're in our fellowship. Okay. You know, I just say, please don't sponsor anybody. Because what you need and what I need are 2 very different things. See, I'm not okay when you take away the booze. I'm in trouble. So these old ideas, right? What I realize now behind my mom dying is that it influenced my old ideas. And I got some strong old ideas on women. Let me tell you what. Bin Laden, they just need to send me, Tammy, and Teresa. We'd have found that little rat in a hole in a second. You know what I mean? Just send us over there and give us a horse. I kind of like the movie with the horse. Teresa may have ridden a motorcycle, but, you know, I'm just saying. I got some old ideas about women that you would believe in. Some of them are good and some of them aren't so good. I'm the sheriff of the world, man. I really am. I swear you don't want to see me in a grocery store. I mean, I am. I'm with the cart going, really? Would you put the potato chips over here? Where's the manager? Good God Almighty. Kids standing up in a cart. I'm like, hey, sit down. Sit down. You know, the parent looks over at me. I go, hey, takes a village. Just saying. Oh, my God. I mean, I am the sheriff of the world. And I know you think you are. Not in my presence. You are merely a deputy. Just saying. Okay, so this third column of a 4-column inventory, what is it about? Dan Sherman did this beautiful experience for the third column. Before you poo-poo it, try it, right? Mark Houston was huge in Charlie and I's life, really in Charlie's life, but I also got the privilege of being around him. And Mark used to say, how do you know what you don't know? You know, how do you know what you don't know? And then he'd also say, don't give me an experience, an opinion on an experience you haven't had. Have the experience, then let's talk. Even if it was bad, let's talk. I like that. So Dan Sherman just did, and we lost Dan Sherman too, and he just did this fabulous third column. So he says, with your self-esteem, it's the value or role I put on myself. It's not my feelings. See, I am a good AA until you buck me, and then I'm a better AA. You with me on that? So I've taken good character, and I just made it into a defect. Because I got that self-righteous. I can't operate with self-righteous. God can't work with me through self-righteous, right? I got to see that self-righteous, get it away, and let God come through there. I'm a good mom, but I'm a better mom than you. See, that's what happens. The longer we're sober, we understand character. But it's when we turn it wrong. How about this one? Oh, you people that love to be on time. So, because I'm not. But you people that love to be on time and you sit there and then you just judge everybody that comes in late. And they got a Starbucks. Well, lucky them. Right? See, you want to be on time and that's important to you. I say more power to you. I'm better at it than I've ever been. But don't judge me for being late. See, that's when you take character and make it into a defect. Pride, the way I think I see others see me. This is how I can always tell when my pride's working. I start it with I can't believe. That's always my pride. I can't believe they said that. I can't believe they're doing that. That's always my pride bubbling up. Call it pride, call it ego. My ambition's what I want. My security's what I need. My security is always that I want everybody to get along. It really is. My ambition is how I want to run the whole show. My personal relationships are my deep-seated beliefs about men and women. Children. Really, I don't know about you guys, but I got some serious issue on this younger generation. Anybody in the room with me on that? Thank you. Well, here's the bad news. We caused it. Yeah. It's an interesting way to look at it, isn't it? I mean, let me ask you this. I was tough on my kids, but when you're at home and you're finished with the meal and you're clearing the table, are they nowhere to be found? It's unbelievable, isn't it? It's like, what the heck? How is that happening on my watch? Just offering some things for your consideration. And then sex, how real men or women show up. Money is how it affects my finance. Do not mess with my sex, my finances, or my children. We got big troubles, right? You hurt, threaten, or interfere anything in my world, and I can go crazy. I can go crazy in sobriety. I've proven that. That's not new information to anybody. I'm 33 years sober, got sober at 26. I can tell you, plenty has gone on. Then on page 44, I love this where it says, if a mere code of morals or better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism, many of us would have recovered long ago. Huh. So what's that saying? Well, we found that such codes and philosophies did not save us. No matter how much we tried, we could not wish to be moral. We could not wish to be philosophically comforted. In fact, we could will these things with all our might, but the needed power wasn't there. This is not the knowledge of God. This is about getting unblocked so the sunlight of the Spirit can speak to my heart. Well, I think it was Teresa that said, you having a hot flash, honey? Okay, I see it. I'm sorry, I just saw that fan again. She whipped that baby out on the airplane. I thought, I think she could fly the plane with that thing. We're talking to the... And the woman next to her goes like this. But the needed power. So you see, we get unblocked when we first get in here. We take that guy through the work. We take him through quickly. That's what the book says. This is not about milling around. It's through quickly. Action, action, more action, right? Vigorous course of action is 4 through 9. Making those amends, living in the disciplines of 10 and 11. We get it. And then we don't do it. Right? I was amazed before I was halfway through. I bet you I made 14 amends. And I thought, you know what? These are all the people I'm going to see anyway. You know, I feel better. And there you go. And then we don't write inventory. I mean, sometimes you don't write inventory for years. That is not what the directions are telling us. And we can't figure this out. And then it says, our human resource, marshaled by the will, was not sufficient. They failed utterly. See, it's like taking a knife to a gunfight. We just don't get that. It's like, chicken soup for the soul AA won't work for me. Not an alcoholic of my variety. Little sticky note says, you're loved. Smile. Does not work. Some people say things like, I'm going to be a nice person. I'm going to be less selfish. Oh, good luck. The third step has so much more depth in it than I ever understood. We call it the second surrender. It says, the first surrender is to alcohol, right? You know, when you got a gorilla on your back, it's not hard to surrender, right? But the second surrender is extremely difficult. It says, which is that we decide to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. We need to break this down and explain this to people. I remember reading that thinking, whatever. I don't even understand it. Well, my will are my thoughts and my life are my actions. So I'm constantly in a thought, action. I see something, I think about it, I react. And what the 10 and 11 is to trying to get me to this consciousness where I'm observing me. But I'm observing me with God's eyes. See, be very careful. The self-talk is very dangerous in AA. You stand somewhere you're really nervous to go into. You go, Katie, come on, you can do this. You've been sober a long time. Just walk in there. I left God out of the whole thing. See, you got to be careful of that. The ego doesn't care how it destroys you. It's just trying to destroy you. I mean, there's people in this room that are miserable right now. That's not unusual. We're a group of people who can be pretty unhappy. A lot of times at these events, we don't want to show anybody that. But we're not happy. We're waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, eyes pinging open, thinking, that son of a gun. And that's putting it nicely, okay? And then I always like to say it's easier to get an alcoholic to quit drinking than it is to get us to quit playing God. That's all we do. You know, watch how often you're really having that minute-to-minute conversation with God. It requires a discipline that most people don't have. I love Tammy talking about being an athlete. I've been an athlete all my life. I get discipline. And I mean, I got discipline, baby. I mean, I got it. It's remarkable. It even amazes me. I do. I love it. I love it, love it, love it. Mark was the one who said, "Oh, now, Lee, you're making me all nervous. Are you going to give me a time here? No time? Okay. Okay, because I got a timer going. I'm thinking he's going to come over here and give me the cut. I'm like, whoa. Okay, so let me get back. So this discipline. Mark was the one who said to me, he goes, "Katie," he goes, "you're an athlete. You know discipline. You guys that are military, you know discipline. Male, female, I'm not saying just men. You know discipline. Take those same disciplines into 10 and 11 and watch the experience you have. It's unbelievable." And we're going to talk more about 10 and 11 in a minute, but I want to hit the third step. Since the first requirement is that Katie's got to be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. I can tell you guys I'm not. Today I am. But I wasn't for many, many years. See, I was like the Ray Donovan of life. You got a problem? Bring it to me. I'll solve it. I could solve. You can't get a pair of pants back to Nordstrom? Let me go with you. Oh, they're taking them back. I don't care if I got to talk to Mr. Nordstrom. They're taking them back. I swear, I went into the waxing place. Oh, my God. To look good at our age, I swear, it takes a lot and a lot of money. Okay? A lot of money and a lot of work. And so I'm in there going to get waxed. Yeah, you boys ought to do that every 4 weeks. And I swear, you're laying there thinking, oh, my God, I'm paying for this. Oh! And so I walk in there, and I use these two different waxers, right? And I love them both. But I had this appointment with one of the girls. And they opened the door, and they were both kind of sitting in there. You could tell they'd been talking and having coffee. It was early in the morning. And one of them looks at her girlfriend, and she goes, "Ask Katie. She'll know the answer." And I had that moment where I thought, wow, God, I carry a message of hope to people outside of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, granted, she's ripping this hair out of my body while we're talking about her marriage. You know, at one point I thought, oh, this is really probably not the best stuff. She goes, and then he pisses me off on the side. She's forgetting to go exhale. But by the time we were done, she goes, "You know, you've really given me some pretty amazing stuff. These people aren't in AA. See, we have steps that help everybody. Use them. Don't miss it." But I had that moment where I stood there and I thought, wow. She goes, "Katie will know what to do." And I used it all from an entirely different angle. See, I'm not a counselor. I'm going to get to the fourth column. Your troubles are of your own making. See, I'm not going to say, well, he shouldn't have said that. Oh, no, I'm going to tell you why he probably said that. He probably said that because he was scared. He's scared to death because you guys can't have a baby. See, he can't comfort you because that's his job to make that baby. Is it possible that he's also very dark behind this too? See, our work is always, this was our course. What was our course? Is it possible they, like myself, are sick too? Not they are sick. They, like myself, are sick too. I can tell you, in life, I could be either person. I could be the person that almost runs you off the road, or I could be the person that you've just almost run off the road. See, I can be either person. I can be the person at the counter yelling at you, or I could be the employee that got yelled at. I get it. That's how we get compassion. I got to be able to put myself in there. Then it says, on that basis, we're almost always in collision with something or somebody, even though our motive is good. Once again, another butt pucker right there. What does that mean? Well, how about this one? I'll give you a couple of examples. You know, you're going to let somebody in traffic because I'm a giver. Right? They better do this. Oh, you're looking for it. Right? You hold the door for somebody, right? They better say thank you. They just walk right past you like. Yeah. This is my other favorite one. There's a plastic bottle on the floor. You pick it up, but you pick it up, you kind of do this. I'll go throw it in the trash. I'm a giver. Everybody else walked past it, but not me. We're always looking for that. And it says that selfishness and self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our troubles. Let's turn a statement into question. Do you believe that? Do you believe you are not selfish and self-centered? Sure, you may not be as selfish and self-centered as you were when you first got here. Oh, but it's the root of our trouble. And it's always behind kind motives. Think about this. Go into your home group and rearrange the furniture. That's Charlie's line. Rearrange furniture. See if that pisses anybody off. Decide to bring a different type of coffee. How about that one? You didn't run it past group conscience. You made a decision without the group conscience. And then it says, we are driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity. We step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. That's where the first period comes in. You see, fear is not the root of my trouble. Selfishness and self-centeredness is. So it's self-centered fear. I'm afraid I'm not going to get what I think I need or lose what I got. I'm not going to get the job. Oh, my God, I get it. Now I'm going to lose it. I'm not going to get the boy. Oh, my God, I get him. Now I'm going to lose him. See, we're playing this slow game of Pong, and I don't even know it. Because how can I see a picture when I'm in it? That's the need for 10 steps. If you don't, there's a reason in the 10th step that it says that we ask God to remove it and we talk to somebody immediately because they can see it. See, I have a message of depth and weight. I can help when no one else can. That's what my sponsor has with me. I got about 3 or 4 10th step buddies. If I can't reach her, man, I'm calling somebody else. See, I don't want to be in the bondage of self long at all. And when I'm in it, I'm in it. I can't see a picture when I'm in it. And then it says, they retaliate, seeming without provocation. But we invariably find that at some time in the past, I made a decision based on Katie that placed me in this position to be hurt. You see, I won't see that until you start asking me questions. Well, what'd you say when they went and did this? When did you show up late to work? I'm going to be like a reporter. I'm asking questions because I'm getting the picture for myself. And then I see where you stepped on your tail. And you don't see that because you don't know that yet. How do you know what you don't know? It's my job to help you see that. I'm telling you guys, my DNA is selfishness and self-centeredness. When I first saw that in the book, I thought that didn't apply to me because I was most likable in high school. 4 years in a row, people. Go ahead, clap. You can find my yearbook every year. That's me. And I'm still like that in life. I swear, me and the lady in the restaurant, we're like that. She might even be coming to Austin. Yeah, she has a relative there. I said, when I left, I said, let me give you my card. You be sure and call me. I'm like the mayor of Austin. She goes, I will do that. And she will. Because you see, I don't know why God put anybody in my life, but I'm not missing a minute of it, people. And you like to say, well, that's because it's your personality. Whatever you got to tell yourself. No, God's got an amazing world out there for us. He really does. So if this is in my DNA, I got to have somebody telling me where I'm a self-seeker, even when trying to be kind, a producer of confusion rather than harmony. Where did I step on the toes of my fellows? Where did I set a ball rolling? Where did I make decisions based on self? I tell you, if we're not careful, we are in AA with this thing where we want to just blame everybody, and you'll get a lot of leverage for that. Unfortunately, you won't get the freedom. Oh, yeah, some people are victimized, but most of us aren't. Extreme example of self-will run riot, comma, though she usually doesn't think so. I love when my sponsor, when I call her, I'll be telling her something, she'll go, though she usually doesn't think so. Didn't really see that coming. When I'm driven by these fears, I typically am the self-righteous girl, okay? I'm not the self-pity. I don't live in that. I'm not the victim. That role just doesn't work well for me. I'm not submissive either. And the minute Charlie shuts me down when I'm really scared, the very first voice I hear is, well, because you're going to have to be submissive. And it feels like I got ants crawling on me. I mean, I'm like, and I have a very loud quiet. You know, one of Charlie's sponsors said, is Katie mad at me? And he goes, oh, trust me, you'll know if she's mad at you. Okay. but this self-righteous and self-pity, right? So most of us go into an inventory with self-righteous. And then we come out with self-pity. Oh my gosh, you've shown it to me from a different angle. Don't do that. You see, it says to get rid of this promptly and without regret. In the fifth step, it says we will be delighted. Remember, 4 through 9 are the 10th step. Same thing happens in that inventory. Do not go to self-pity. You've got to see this as uncover, discover, and discard. Remember, we're talking about on page 45, it says, lack of power was my dilemma. Let me tell you guys, this power takes a lot of work to get connected to. One of the beautiful things about AA, one of the beautiful things about these 12 steps is the still quiet voice is what we're trying to be able to listen to. You heard it when you were drunk. Don't go. Stay. Don't do that. See, God loves us drunk or sober. This is not that I have to act good to get the love of my God. Be your God whatever you want. We've thrown the gates wide open. This is not about religion. You can have whatever you want, but you better get connected to a power that's greater than you. It says we have to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be the power greater than ourselves. Obviously. Obviously. But where and how are we to find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main objective is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. Everything's my problem, not just alcohol. That means we've written a book which we believe to be spiritual as well as moral. Oh, my God. Everybody, let's just throw the gates wide open on the moral values of the fiber of our being. And I'm going to say something that's dicey, so get ready. Okay? This is dicey. This is my opinion based on my experience because I sponsor half the country. We have a younger generation that is so sexually confused, it's heartbreaking. And my generation started girls dancing with each other. That's all we did. We weren't about to mug down on you. We were just going to dance with you. You with me? Well, come on. I know there's my generations in the room. So we were going to dance, and it wasn't to turn the guy on. It was just to dance to have fun with my girlfriends. There'd be 6 of us on the dance floor dancing, having a good time, right? Well, now these kids have turned to where the girls are all kissing each other. And they are sexually confused. And if you come to me confused like that, I'm going to tell you, if you want me to sponsor you, I have terms to the agreement. You're going to have to pick one side of the fence or the other. I'm not going to have you dating a girl, then dating a boy, then dating a girl, then dating a boy. I'm not going to do it because it's too much work for me. I'm just saying. See, I get to do that because I'm just a garden variety drunk. I'm not a counselor. I'm not a social worker. If you step out, if you come to me and say I have an open marriage, well, I ain't sponsoring you. I am not playing in that arena. You know what I mean? You get to do whatever you want. I'm just not going to sponsor you. See, it's not that I'm not the arbiter of your sex life. I'm not going to manage your sex life because it is going to be a disaster. I've been dying to say that. I know. I swear. And you ought to see the little kids. And even with the cutters, I tell them, if you cut, I won't do it. I'm not going to spy. So just know that. And they'll sit there like this. Okay. Okay. Because it's like Clancy. You have a certain sponsor that okay. See, there is a lot of power that I have because of the power that I'm connected to. It's not me. It's the power that I'm connected to says that is okay to say because it tells me right here about the moral value. It says in the fourth step, it says we cannot fool ourselves about values, guys. We can't. And you are. You are fooling yourself that you can mess on both sides of the track. Oh, you're going to be totally screwed up for many years if you're on both sides of the track. Okay, I'll get off of it now. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I know not everybody agrees. You hear the spattering. And it means, of course, that we're going to talk about God. I couldn't believe when we were talking about taking God out of the big book. I'm like, what? Who are those people? To me, I'm like, oh my God, once again, guys, you don't like the God deal in the book? Bye-bye. Goodbye. We're not going to conform so you feel comfortable. I'm the kind of person who says if you try to run track and you're not fast enough, you're not on the team. Sorry. Not everybody's a winner. You know why? That kid will work hard to get on that track team. But we've sucked the life out of all of that. You're too big to be a cheerleader? Huh? Lose a little weight. Go. See, that's what we need. We got to get back to this value that no is an acceptable answer. No, I'm not doing that. See how loud my quiet is? I kind of like that. I'm almost done, I know. Okay, so one of the things I want to talk about, though, is this 10 and 11. And I asked Lee, I brought Mark Houston. How many of you guys have heard of Mark Houston? Oh, my God. Powerful, powerful man. He does a 10 and 11. I know he does a ton of them. But this particular 10 and 11 absolutely changed my life. There's something about the way he puts this together that it made me want to be a better disciplined person. And this 10 and 11, he's got the CD out there. I told him, I said, make a bunch more because this is a CD you don't want to just listen to. You want to study it. The depth of how Mark could take into that 10 step. See, we are to watch for resentment, dishonesty, selfishness, and fear. And when they crop up, we are not to wait for it. And if we are to watch for it. So every morning I am taking my looking at my 24 hours, right? And you're to look at your 24 hours. This meditation is not to sit quietly. This meditation is deep contemplative thinking. People are like, well, if you're thinking then, or if you're talking to God, you're not listening. Whatever. This is all about an intimate personal relationship with God. That's what I love the Oxford movement. They did this two-way prayer. God and I write a love letter every morning to each other. I can't even begin to tell you guys the relationship I have with my Creator is only because of my struggles. My struggles, I go to God and He tells me how much He loves me and how wonderful the day is going to be. Do not allow these struggles to get in your way, Katie. You will miss all the people I've put in your life. Don't do this. I believe that 100% because you see, guys, I don't know how long I have. I like to think it's 93, but he might have other plans. And so that's the date I've always been told all my life in my head. And so, but if it's sooner than that, I want you to miss me. I do. I want you to carry on my dream. I want you to be more disciplined in 10 and 11. I want you to take 10 and 11 straight out of the big book and read it. There are three paragraphs in the 10th step that are sort of, we've entered the realm of the Spirit. Do you believe that? If you don't, I get it. I hadn't. I didn't understand it. Cease fighting anything or anyone. That doesn't mean I'm still not going to get pissed off. That doesn't mean I'm not going to get scared. But it's like just that long. It doesn't hang. I'm not in the bondage of self forever. And then at night, when we retire at night, we check our work. Most people don't do an evening review, 11-step evening review. They just don't. I'd rather have you do an evening review before I have you do prayer and meditation. Because prayer and meditation can feel good. And then you go out in the world and you just act like a dum-dum. Right? First person that slams their brakes on pisses you off. Your coffee spills. Now you've ruined your day. But your evening review keeps you on the pulse of your self-centeredness. The urgency in the 10th step is huge. Huge. Ask God at once to remove it. What does that mean? Not, God, please remove this. Not a Hail Mary pass. I got to stop for a moment and go, God, I'm not willing to believe this delusional lie. See, I believe the world is governed by law. Be it Hinduism, Buddhism, Judaism, Christianity, doesn't matter. Right? As a man thinketh, we reap what we sow. Self-fulfilling prophecy. Water seeks its own level. I don't care if you're sitting at the ashram or kneeling in church. It doesn't matter. These laws govern it. Whatever you believe, you manifest. Period. God gave us free will. So you got to ask. Sorry. Just the way it is. And when you ask, this is one of these old ideas. So when you ask, you say, God, please help me with patience. And then you say, watch out what you pray for. They're like, oh, honey, please trust me. Life has been going on like this. You just woke up. Okay, now you got situations to be patient in. This is the will of God, right? And I got to tell you guys, troubles and suffering are often extremely important. Then it says our troubles are of our own making. This is a promise. I love that. If I want to be free, the problem's got to be me. And those terms in the third step, it's written on page 28. God does not make too hard of terms for those who seek Him. He provided what I needed. If I keep close to Him and perform His work well, in order to keep close to Him, I got to get close to Him. So I got to get unblocked. then I got to help his kids. I'm telling you, most of us do just enough work to get right outside of drinking, right? Just like this. And this is the bungalow I'm living in. You could be 15, 20 years sober in that bungalow. God's got a palace up here and you'll never even know it. How do you know what you don't know? I mean, the relationship you can have with the God of your understanding is remarkable. It says, follow the dictates of a higher power. You will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances are. Thank you.